It's good to be with you. This week, some of you know, I took a trip out to Texas. I was in the San Antonio area. Some of my friends from seminary get together in the second week of February every year for sort of a reunion mini vacation. And they've gone every year since we were ordained. I just never went because it's February. It's not really a good time, I think, for a vacation. But they did. But it's been 6 years since I was ordained, so it's been 6 years since I've seen some of my friends there. So I decided, you know what? I'm going to go. So I went. So I was out in beautiful, cold, 70-degree weather. It was wonderful. And then I came back. But it's good to be back with you all. And also, please keep in your prayers the DeLugos family, parishioners of ours. Stan DeLugos passed away this past week. You might have seen in the paper. His funeral will be here on Tuesday at 10 a.m. And so please pray for the repose of his soul and pray for his wife Judy and their two sons during this time of grieving. So some of you might be familiar with St. Damian of Molokai. Damian lived in the second half of the 1800s, but from an early age, Damian just wanted to be a priest. When he was old enough, he decided to enter the Congregation of the Sacred Hearts of Jesus and Mary, and Damian would pray each day before an icon of St. Francis Xavier, the great missionary saint, to be sent on a mission himself. In 1864, Damian was given the chance to go to the colony in Hawaii to serve. He arrived there and was ordained a priest on the island 2 months later. In 1866, Hawaii established a leper colony. Now, during this time, when someone caught leprosy, there was a forced life quarantine due to fears of the disease spreading. Yet, the lepers were still human beings with dignity, so they still needed spiritual care and medical care. In 1873, Damian decided it was his call to be with these people. When he arrived at the leper colony, he found that anarchy had reigned among the people living there. Every kind of immorality existed. Many patients required treatment, but nobody was there to care for them. Other patients were severe alcoholics in order to escape from the pain. No one wanted to help the lepers out of fear of contracting the disease. Father Damian realized the people needed a strong leader. So he organized them to come together to build houses and buildings, including their parish church, St. Philomena's. Father Damian was actually only supposed to be at the colony for a few months, but the more he worked with the people, the more he fell in love with them. Eventually, he decided he was not going to leave. He would stay there. He was not concerned about getting the disease. He could not leave his people. One day, Damian accidentally stepped into scorching hot water, but oddly, felt no pain. That's when he realized he too had finally contracted leprosy, which damaged the nerves in his body. Damian continued his priestly work nonetheless. His joy was contagious to those around him. He would die in 1889 from the disease and was canonized a saint by Pope Benedict XVI in 2009. The day of his death is now a state holiday in Hawaii. While many ran away in fear from serving those in need, Damian had not. Why? Because his life wasn't centered on living on earth. It was centered on heaven. Now, our readings this morning all focus on the theme of having faith in eternal life, that our earthly life is not all there is, praise God. In the first reading, the prophet Jeremiah reminds us that if we put our strength and hope simply in the things of this life, well, we're going to be disappointed. Rather, a person who receives his strength from his faith in our Lord is not going to experience the same interior emptiness and shallowness that those without faith seem to experience in this life. A person with faith will never give in to hopelessness in the midst of great suffering. In the second reading, St. Paul exhorts the Corinthians to trust in the truth of the resurrection. Otherwise, all the exercises of their faith were in vain, for Christ would not be who he said he was if he did not resurrect. Without the truth of the resurrection, their lives were meaningless. And then finally, in our gospel, our Lord preaches on the Beatitudes, as related by St. Luke. The more popular version of them that we know is from St. Matthew's gospel. In the Beatitudes, though, our Lord teaches that those who experience poverty, hunger, sorrow, and persecution in this life for the sake of the gospel should rejoice, because these afflictions are signs that they're headed in the right direction and will receive their just reward in heaven. In other words, suffering was the means to eternal happiness. On the contrary, those who live lives centered on the things of the world, empty wealth, indulgence, and popularity, ought to be concerned about their eternal salvation because they've chosen these things to be their false idols, things that can never give them happiness. Just a note, Father Zabel told this story earlier, so I'm going to tell it too. Last night, Father Zabel and I, not awoken, but let's just say very late, we had a knock on our door. And it was a student who was in concern because, there were two other students right nearby us who had imbibed way more than they should have ever imbibed. In fact, they should have imbibed zero, but that's another story. And they were in need of attention. And, you know, it's beautiful. Students come to us for spiritual needs, and now they think we can cure drunkenness. So we went down there, and sure enough, these students could not walk. But it was just by talking to them, we were eventually able to get a phone number. And we were able to call their friend, and their friend came and got them. But they were miserable. But that's because they were looking for happiness in false idols. Now, these words, speaking in the time of Christ, must have been scandalous for the people to hear. Right? His words point to the reality that worldly externals are often deceptive, and that the truly blessed are those who appear to be failures in the eyes of the world. Yet, that's okay for disciples of Christ. Why? Because this world is not all that there is. Disciples of Christ are to put their faith and trust in him, and not in what is showcased by the world and what we're tempted to believe will give us the happiness for which our hearts long. Only in Christ can we find happiness. And once we recognize that, we realize we're but temporary pilgrims on this earth. St. Thérèse of Lisieux once wrote, "The world is thy ship and not thy home." This is an important lesson to be learned whenever we have the illusion that we are safely in control of our lives. This world is not our home. The saints frequently admonish us to detachment from the things of this world. And they remind us that while we may often think otherwise, this earth is not our final destination. As St. Paul says in his letter to the Hebrews, the saints are saints because through faith, they desire a better country, a heavenly one. And if heaven is our goal, then we're inspired through faith to do extraordinary things. I mean, let's think about it. St. Damien of Molokai did not stay in Hawaii simply to be kind to others. He stayed in Hawaii out of love of God. He knew that by giving of himself completely, including his life, he wasn't losing anything. Instead, he was gaining. You see, he was living for heaven. The sufferings of leprosy did not scare him away from that. But St. Damien is just one example. I also think of St. Maximilian Kolbe, who sacrificed his life in the Auschwitz concentration camp so that another person who he did not even know could live. I think of St. Gianna Mola, who willingly died so that her unborn child would live. I think of Father Thomas Biles, one of the priests on the RMS Titanic, who refused a lifeboat as the ship sank so that others could go before him. Could we say we would do the same? The saints in general lived a message that some things are more important than mere self-preservation. They show that spiritual lifeboats can offer more lasting salvation than physical ones. In other words, they show that salvation is the most important aspect of their lives. Now, there is suffering in this life, great suffering, yes. Suffering that we do not want, nor that we can always escape. But as Christ teaches us in the gospel, if we are poor in spirit, in other words, if we rely on God, we will actually be rich. Not in the worldly measure, but in the true measure, in eternity in heaven. We must not live as the world lives, but live a life of the Beatitudes now. We must have our minds and hearts always fixed on heaven. Now, this is surely difficult at times with all that's happening in our lives and in the world. But if we have that, then the fears and insanities of this passing world will not take away our inner peace. After all, there is nothing more peaceful than being in the state of grace. In other words, if we are right in right relationship with Christ, well, then why should we fear death? One of the greatest blessings of our Catholic faith is the sacrament of confession. When we leave that confessional door afterward, we know that no matter what happens to us in that moment, provided that we remain in God's grace, we have chosen to live for God and to be with Him in eternity. And so when the fears of the world want to plague us, we must keep our eyes focused on Christ, on that hope of eternal life. We, as Catholics, must never give in to fear. With faith in eternal life, we will be willing to give of ourselves to others out of love of God, knowing that suffering can be the pathway to peace, as the Serenity Prayer says, and ultimately, eternal peace. We will not see suffering as an end-all be-all as the world does, which is why euthanasia and abortion exist, but as a temporary cross on the pilgrimage to peace. We will not let discouragement and despair at sadness in life disturb us, as it disturbs those without faith in God, because our hope will be in God alone. As St. Teresa of Avila once wrote, "Let nothing disturb you. Let nothing frighten you. All things are passing away. God never changes. Patience obtains all things. Whoever has God lacks nothing. God alone suffices." Amen.